and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. In this week's episode, we'll be looking back at an entertaining 2-2 draw at Clyde, and we'll also be previewing this weekend's trip to struggling Falkirk. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Struggling with the heat again. It seems to be coming and going. Global warming we're living at.
We've got an excuse for everything as well. I'm sure we'll come across in the next hour or so. But yeah, it's rather humid today, shall we say.
As if I'd have passed out before the end of this recording. Right, so we'll crack on just in case we do pass out. Right, so we had Clyde on Saturday. Ended up being quite a game, as it turned out. I think last week we were expecting too much. We were quite, I wouldn't say pessimistic, but I think you said you would take a draw in the end. It was a draw, but I think going by what's been said after the game by, in fact, both sets of fans and both managers, I think it's an opportunity missed by both sides.
Yeah, I think both managers will feel that, you know, playing the opposition side, that 3 points would have been much welcome, especially from your point of view. I think being 2-0 down as well, I think if somebody said to you after 20 minutes to get a point, the way our season had started, would have probably taken it. Clyde, I think, will be the mere disappointed. I think they played a large period of the second half of 10 men, but they did go 2-0 up. Bit of a role reversal to being there last season. We went 2-0 up and then conceded two quick fair goals. Roles reversed this time, but yeah, I think in the balance of play, both managers will feel it was an opportunity missed, but maybe they'd have been quite happy with that point at the same time.
Had we not gotten back to 2-2 so quickly, in terms of we got a goal and then we scored more or less straight away again, the feeling would have been like, okay, 2-2 maybe is a good result, but because we got in back level so quick. And then, as we'll talk about later on, through the episode, the opportunities were there and we didn't take them. So is that maybe where the disappointment comes from?
Yeah, but on the flip side, we hadn't scored in five competitive games and then we've got two goals. And, you know, at 2-0 down, if you're in the game, you think you're 2-0 down, we hadn't scored in five. You know, far as the result coming through. So I think, like I said, in the balance of play, I think a point. If somebody said to me before the game, you'll get a point. Okay, Clyde are playing New Douglas Park for the first time as well. I just think on the balance, I think a point was probably a fair result, to be honest.
Ryan Strachan started for the first time since returning. It was Jordan Brown. It dropped out from the game from last week. And it was what we thought Jim might go with this season, that back three. So the back three was Ryan Strachan, David Wilson and Paul Dixon. So a lot of experience alongside David Wilson this time. I think for large spells, we did go 2-0 quick early on. But what we spoke about last week in terms of what Ryan Strachan can give you in terms of experience and his talking through the game certainly seemed to make a difference.
Yeah, I think he was a stick on to start really on Saturday. But Jason was out with a concussion as well with the protocol and that. I think it's a decent addition coming in. Like you said, the experience and his communication is invaluable. It will help the younger players through. And also, you've got the experience of Paul Dixon alongside him as well. So it's a lot of experience in the back line. You're just hoping over the course of this season that proves a bit of fruition as well.
And obviously in the wing backs, Max Gillis and Danny Strachan on the left, getting forward quite a bit. Midfield again, maybe slightly less experience this time. Jack Brown, Ryan Dow, and alongside the trialist, which again was Scullion, who again, I think you mentioned last week as well, has been impressive so far, but the only downside is he's still looking to go back into full time, which might play against us slightly.
Yeah, it was one of them with the transfer sagas as well, which also we covered last week. But you've got a player that wants to play full time. You always feel that he needs a second option, and I really think we can afford the time or the players to, you know, give them that weeks to make the decision. You either want to come in and play for the club, or you don't. And if he decides he wants to go full time, then so be it. But I wouldn't have went a situation of you sign a player and then in January we'll lose him again because he wants to go full time. If he's made it known now he does, you know, he wants full time, then you know we maybe don't have to take him on.
And then obviously we had Ola up front and Conor O'Keefe is there as well. So we spoke about, last week in terms of the formation. I think this is where he wants us to be, that back three, back five. It worked quite well last season, particularly early on. Do you like that balance? Do you like where he's going with that style?
I can see what he's trying to do, but I don't necessarily think he's got the personnel at the moment to do it. I think Danny Strachan, with respect, is the best at left-back. I can't even play wherever he's asked to, but again, you've got a natural right-footed on the left-hand side. Your midfield, I think the balance is quite there of playing that. Obviously, two up top, he didn't hit it often last season. He normally just preferred Russell McLean. Is that still going to be the case when Russell comes back from injury for the next couple of weeks? Will he go with two up top, big man, little man? So I can see what he's trying to do. Obviously, there have been a lot of change within the squad. He maybe feels it's the best to suit the team, but I think you're maybe lacking that natural wing backs to play that formation.
And I much prefer Jack Brown to be further forward as well. I know he's been playing that holding role in the number six position in the last few games. I know he's done that previously at his former clubs, but given how well he played last season, further forward, more advanced, I think we're missing a trick there. But as you said, maybe just don't have the personnel to get him in that kind of position. So maybe another midfielder, another holding midfielder would be more suited.
Yeah, I think once Andy McCarthy comes back, it'll actually help Jack Brown, you know, allow him to go further forward. Because when he first came into the club, he sort of played out in the wings, didn't really get the best of him. And then he went through that purple patch as well, 5-6 games, playing really well. And he was in that more attacking, advanced role. So I think Jack's unfortunately just a consequence of the injuries to Hamish and Andy. And I'm sure once Andy's back, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll see Jack further forward, which I think is probably his better position.
It's on to the game then. It was actually Scullion who got the first opportunity quite early on. Long range effort was saved by Neil Parry in the Clyde goal. And I guess this is what we can expect from Scullion, because we saw last week and we saw on Saturday as well. He will get forward quite a bit. He's not afraid to get a shot away from range as well.
Yeah, it's good to see. We said last season we were guilty of trying to score like the perfect goal, find this one pass too many. I think last season really when Scott Brown was, you know, the player that would really take shots outside the box, so if you've got a player in Scullion that's willing to have an effort on target as well, make the keeper work, that's all you can ask for.
He's very much box to box, a bit like Scott Brown. He will be up and doing all day, and you would think a young man of his age, he'll certainly have the engine to do that, and he's certainly been impressive so far in his two games.
Yeah, he's a small lad, but for your lads and height, he's really, you know, as you said, he's a box-to-box midfielder and comes across pretty well. And he's, like I said last week, he didn't do anything outstanding, but at the same time, he didn't do nothing to harm his chances. So a good day to see him in a solid display again on Saturday.
Yeah, he took about maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes to get into the game, whereas this one he settled in pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think the fact he was training as well with the guys during the week probably helped his case as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was something to come out of the club maybe in the next week or so saying that he'd sign. The only downside, like I said, is he's looking for full-time football, which might, he'll be looking to go elsewhere. Is that something Jim's going to take on, given the fact that he's been burnt quite a bit in the summer window as well?
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. First goal then, 40 minutes gone. What we said last week about the goals against... or certainly the chances that Airdrie created, a lot of crosses were coming in. This is very much the same thing again. A free header, cross coming in. He just wasn't followed in. Cunningham, nobody's picked his run up from midfield.
Yeah, he's in between two defenders. I think we've given the left-back far too much time as well. The lad that put in the cross just prior to he'd walked 30, 40 yards with the ball, and they really challenged. Gave the ball out to our right hand side and players are moving across, but I feel he got far too much room. And in the end, he's been a good cross, good finish from Clive's point of view, but from our point of view, disappointed that he's A, allowed the cross to come in, and B, that's a free header in your own 6 yard box.
It was Cunningham that put the pass out wide, so you know he's picked up the ball midway between halfway line and the 18 yard box. He's put a pass out and he's He's, I wouldn't say he's ghosted in, because I think players are aware of him, but nobody's really made that decision, right, I'm just going to go with him.
Yeah, I think that's fine. You're looking for the experience of Paul Dixon and Ryan Strachan to be able to notice, as you said, that almost like a ghost run. You've got these guys have got the experience of playing football. They've got to realise that these runs are happening. And if the ball's in line, your defenders are dealing with, you've got to make sure you can fire your man who's coming into the box, because as we've heard in football before, space doesn't score a player well. You know, these experienced guys. David Wilson as well, he's now a young 18, 19 all playing his trade. He's experienced. He's got a lot of games under his belt as well. So you're looking for these guys just to pick up the runners.
And if you've got a back three, you would think even if you're up against two forwards, one would be spare. So you'd be looking for that spare man to then pick up these kind of runs.
Yeah, exactly. They've got to pick up the runs, or they've got to be used as a cover. If you've got a defender, i.e. Dixon or Strachan, and they're going to meet a ball, you've got to slot into that centre-back space. So, hey, over the next couple of weeks, I'll hopefully glue together a wee bit better. But yeah, on the basis of that, it was poor that we've allowed a man a free header in the box.
Yeah, and then second goal shortly after. Again, you look at the goals from last week, and similar again. It could have probably been stopped at various stages before the goal's gone in. We mentioned David Wilson last week missing his clearance. He's more or less done the same again. With this one, I think he's maybe been turned too easily early on, and then Dixon's missed the through ball. I wouldn't say a calamity of errors, but those are the kind of things that are going against us at the minute. You'd expect at least one of those guys to sort it out, and then in the end they get the second goal.
It's one of them when you're locked out. As you said, there's a couple of times it could have been stopped. You know, if you're playing well and you're locked in, Jack Newman's 5 yards further forward and he mops up and puts out for a throw-in. Good finish for the lad, a tight angle. But as you said, it's a combination of a couple of things that you feel could have been prevented, but as I said, you're locked out. That's just what things have been a goal for you.
Yeah, and should he really be scoring for that angle? I know there's that man in line, I think it was Danny Stark, and does he expect it to be, you know, to be going wide or to be going over, because it really is a tight angle, and it's quite wide of the goal as well.
Yeah, it's one of them. When Danny's covering, you don't want him to foul, and then you see where the ball's ended up, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, well, I'd be happy for you to take a shot from there. Obviously, it's going the back of the net, but I think if you ask somebody 10 times, you'd only maybe hit the back of the net 2 or 3 times. But again, when you're locked to that combination, the clearance, the through ball, Jack Newman being arguably could have been a couple of yards further forward. It's all happened. It's a quite tight angle. Good finish. But I'd be quite happy for him to shoot for there. Just unfortunate that it's been in.
Yeah, as you said, I think if you did that 8, 9, 10 times, he's only scored maybe once or twice. It's one of those goals that, as you said, Danny's probably going, go and hit it for there, and it's gone whizzing by him.
Exactly, yeah. And Jack Newman's probably quite happy that he's going to take a shot for there. It's just unfortunate it's rattled at the top of the net.
So 2-0, 20 minutes gone. I think pretty much everybody was going head and hands thinking, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall. As I said, we hadn't scored in so long. You're 2-0 down against a team that we've got a decent record against of late. It was looking pretty ominous at 3:20.
Was that maybe playing on maybe even Clyde's minds, the fact that we've got such a good record against them, even though they were 2-0 up, that they were never really that comfortable. And it's maybe just something that's playing on their minds slightly. I know personnel has changed slightly for both clubs, but there's just that element within the club that they just can't buy a win against us just now.
Yeah, possibly. You do hear players saying superstitious thoughts kind of get against certain teams and coming up against certain players and individuals. But also, their second goal and your 2 goals, everything happened in quite a short period of time. It's maybe something they've maybe played into. I just think the fact 2-0, you've mentioned it a few times over the years, that 2-0 is a precarious lead in football, because the next goal is so crucial at 2-1 or 3-0, it does make the game. And you know whether they've just been 2-0 up and started taking their eye off the ball, so to speak, and it's cost them in the end.
Yeah, so Ola Adeyemo got his first goal and got us back into the game, and we mentioned him already, but Scullion was heavily involved. He got the cross in from the left. Ola's probably shown us what he can do in terms of getting ball under control, turning shot, and has found the net. And I guess we're pleased for him because of the efforts that he's put in. Maybe didn't get the rewards last week, but certainly it's plugged away and didn't shy away from or try and hide away at times, even at 2-0.
I think there's a lot to come from Ola. You know, he's quietly going about things. But I'm really pleased for him. He's got his first goal. He worked away against Airdrie. Obviously, he's 1-1, which didn't quite work out for him. But he's got to be in the right place at the right time. You know, as a striker playing up on your own, it can be quite easy to sort of shirk away for things and, you know, hide behind defenders. He hasn't done that. He was always showing for the ball. So, yeah, I'm really pleased he's got his first goal. As you said, it just shows a wee bit about him, the touch, the turn, and putting it in the net.
And we're certainly seeing a lot of Scullion as well. As I said, he got the cross in. And this is where it's putting him in the short window, I guess, in terms of his abilities and him being able to put himself about and saying, right, well, this is what I can do, even in a short period that he will be at the club if he's not signing on long term.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's playing for Pirie at the moment. He's on trial. We're trying to get him in, but as they say, the LDs, you know, there could have been scouts in the game that might pick him up for a championship team or, you know, wherever. So whilst he's continued putting a good performance, if it can help us out and we get a good player at the end of it, then I'm all for it.
I think the rules is, and I'm going by my Football Manager experience here, I think he gets 4 games, I think it is, maximum, that he can play as a trialist. So he's always obviously played 2, potentially another 2 to go before a decision can be made.
Well, it's more than one, because I actually thought, I said to you last week, I didn't think you could actually play a trialist in a competitive game. I know they could play in the friendlies and cups, but I didn't think you could play a league game. So, hey, it was news to me, so if it's 4 games, I certainly think the 2 that he's done so far, he certainly isn't done his chances any harm, that's for sure.
I think much like a lot of rules within the SPFL, it changes quite a bit, because he certainly couldn't play trialists a few seasons ago, but I think the way things have been going, you can't play. I think you can play a maximum of 3 in a season.
The trialist rule was maybe changed to help us fulfil games.
Maybe Jim Kane, somebody within the SPFL, up in the, to try and help us out a wee bit. So that was 2-1, and we're right back into it. And then, lo and behold, guys, we was 2-2 straight away again. And the whole context of the game changes. This time it was Max Gillis that was heavily involved on the right hand side. He took a shot, and this is maybe where we'll talk about luck. It was a shot that was going really nowhere. O'Keefe's picked it up, controlled it, and has lashed it into the net. Dare we say, maybe things like that maybe would have gone against us slightly previously?
Yeah, I think so. Goodness, you wait ages for one goal and then 2 of them come along at once. I could hardly believe our luck. But yeah, it's a cross that's going nowhere. And, you know, You need the break from time to time. We're locked out. Also, we've seen the 2 goals that have gone against us. Really pleasing we got back in the game. And I think that shows the character that, you know, some of the boys have got, even at 2-0 down. Things aren't going our way and we've stuck in and we've managed to get back in the game pretty quick.
O'Connor O'Keefe, again, another one who's played all 6 games, like a few of them already this season. Maybe has the set the header on fire as yet, but has been fairly consistent with his performances, and again it was pleasing for him to get that reward with a goal for his efforts.
Yeah, I think it's good that it's 2 different goal scorers as well. All kind of goals will breed confidence in a squad, and I think if you've got players that are just slowly coming together, but, you know, we've heard the last 10 few comments of can the team need time to gel. Again, it's another game gone by. So, you know, the team are playing a decent standard on Saturday compared to, I think, with the cup games, all the performance is better. So maybe things are just slowly ticking over. A couple more additions in through the door are going to go amiss. But again, that luck that we're maybe needing at 2-0 down certainly came around when we got the second.
And so 2-2, we've gone into half time. Clyde maybe just had a chance or just before the break, but at 2-2, you certainly felt as though that the momentum was with us. We're obviously pleased to be coming back from 2-0, and you would think from then on we could go on and potentially win the game.
Yeah, I think if they went 2-2, I think at that moment, especially the first part of the second half, I think there's only going to be one winner by the looks of it. With Thuis staying overly much in the game, but I thought we nullified Clyde pretty well. Obviously, in the first half, then they were playing well up until they got their second goal. I think we nullified them, as I said, in the second half, played a lot better. And at that moment, I think there was only going to be one winner. But unfortunately, that never came. But on the appearance of it, it looked like it was going to be us.
And what would probably be the theme of the second half is the goalkeepers being on top. Neil Parry having a save from Jack Brown early on in the second half, whereas obviously first half four goals conceded. Maybe it wasn't the goalkeeper's half, but certainly the two goalkeepers on the day certainly showed their colours in the second. So Jack Brown having that one, and then obviously the penalty that Clyde got was then saved by Jack Newman.
Yeah, and like I said, I'd go back to like confidence. So I'll say, although Jack's conceded two, you'd say one of them defenders got to be picking up the man running in. Second aim is a great strike for a really tight angle, and he's also saved a penalty. So again, these little things with confidence that we spoke about his last season, confidence is a massive thing. In fact, like, you can go through a bad run of games, and your confidence is low, you're going to get it, you get a good result. So the fact that Connor scored all that, and then you've got Jack making a save for a penalty, just slowly the confidence, and they've got a point to show for it as well. I think, confidence is just starting to grow there.
We've got no complaints with the penalty award, really. It deemed to be a pretty clear handball. But the save, again, we said luck is maybe the word we're using quite a lot, but he's gone one way, it's gone down the middle, he's managed to save it with his legs. But again, you make your own luck sometimes in football.
Yeah, and I think he deserves it, because I think over the six competitive games he played beforehand, so he was five, he was in it for eight, but he's earned that bit of luck, or I think he deserves it. As you said, he's going one way, the ball's going down the middle, and he's got his legs up to make the save, and I'm pleased for him, because obviously, again, as I said, I'll bring the confidence in him out.
And Gillis, again, down that right-hand side quite often in that second half, threatening, getting forward. I don't want to get overexcited and overhype him at this stage, because it's only two games in.
We will.
are we seeing signs of what we saw of Josh Mulligan last season, particularly the early stages?
Well, it's quite a high...
it's high praise. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know what to do, but hey, we'll kick off the season early.
Wow. there maybe is. He's an attacking fullback. He likes to get forward. I think we'll get Mare Joy Dumour our right-hand side this season, and I think we will put our left. As I said, he likes to go forward. He looks good, quite comfortable on the ball for a young man. He's not scared of beating his man as well. It is only two games in, but if we've got anything like the player that we had in Josh Mulligan when he's here, then we should be in for a good season with him.
Red card, maybe just turn the game in our favour slightly. Jordan Allen was sent off. Second yellow. Obviously, Clyde will dispute it, but I think it was probably a fair and justified decision. But then that gate, what that then does is it makes Clyde go much more defensive. They want to try and just keep play for the point. But what was pleasing was, for me anyway, was the fact that Jim didn't hang about, and he made that attacking change. He took David Wilson off and put Robbie McGill on.
Yeah, I think too often you see a team with 10 men, the opposition managers maybe try and wait 10 minutes and see if it happens. Thankfully, Jim didn't. He realised the importance of potentially getting 3 points. And it's not often that you'll see Jim make that sort of bold change. It's normally slight formation tweaks or similar sort of players. So to take off a defender and put on, basically a striker, it just shows you how important Jim felt getting 3 points was. And also the fact that they can do it to 10 men, as you said, the game had turned at that point as well. So there was a fair chunk, was it 25 minutes there was left in the game?
65, I think, sent off, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fine that you could see Jim was trying to get the win. Like I said, I think managers sometimes are too cautious.
And then from then on, there was a few chances for both sides, really. Newman produced another save. Dixon had a chance from a corner. Danny Strachan right at the end as well had an opportunity. And as I said, it was probably The second half was much better from the goalkeepers, but from our perspective, it was good to see chances being created, getting forward and making it a much better game to watch.
Yeah, you mentioned last week about the amount of shots we had in the cup competition.
A lack of.
the three shots in the one half against Aberdeen. So it's fine that we're starting to create things. Like I said, confidence, I think this team's going to be slowly starting to gel. I would like to see a couple more come through. I don't think Jim mentioned that until he's still looking to get the recruits in. So, I think if, like I said, a point away to Clyde is a decent result. The fact that we were 2-0 down as well, I think pleased would have been how I felt on Saturday. Nay, overly enthusiastic about it, but like I said, we're 2-0 down. They were in the ascendancy and we've come back to get some faith. So I think overall, managers should be satisfied.
Yeah, and as you said, at 3:20, I think we would have bitten anybody's hand off that would have offered us a draw at that time, because certainly you feel that the floodgates might have opened.
Yeah, and I think it would have been quite easy for the players to sort of need down tools, but for the heads to drop again, you're 2-0 down after 20 minutes and they've worked hard in training for the week to build up to the game. A point I'm happy with it. It's obviously it doesn't sit in the head of the line, but it just gives you that first point on the board and then you build for there.
What did you make of the manager's comments after the game? He said that he felt that we were poor, we should have won the game. Was he being overly critical or given where we were at 3:20, or is he right? We probably should have gone on and won the game.
I'm pleased he said it because, it's been on social media as well. And, folk have spoken about in the time that, Jim sometimes quite happy when you get beat. No, happy is maybe the word to use, but 3 or 4-0, you get beat, he'll say it could have been more. He's happy that it was only 3. It's fine that he's come out in the press and said, no, we should have won the game. Because it sets standards. Obviously, that 6-0 defeat against Raith, he said he was quite happy, could have been 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. You want him to be able to set the standards. It comes to the manager and the coaches. Obviously, you were 2-0 down, but you got back into the game. You still had 25 minutes against 10 men. You had chances, and we just didn't convert them. But again, he set that marker of, no, we're not happy, we should have won. And that's what I want to hear from the manager.
You also mentioned a potential lack of belief. Some of the players were waiting for something to happen rather than making something to happen, and I think that comes from the run that we're on. Obviously, the worse the results get, the more players will sort of regress into themselves a little bit, and they kind of go, they don't want to make a mistake because it might lead to something. Whereas if you are winning games, you're scoring goals, you're quite happy to try and maybe try something different. Because things are going well, but this is which is where we're at in terms of the run. There is a lack of belief. I think that was what we said last week about some of the chances that we created against Airdrie last week. Jordan's one, for example, or Adeyemo's one. More confidence than maybe we would have at least hit the target, certainly, or even scored.
I think the lack of belief. Again, I'll come back to that, it comes down to confidence. You'll be in the right place at the right time if you're feeling confident. If you're nae, you're going to lurk outside the box. You're nae going to win that 50-50. It's that lot of things. And it's that vicious cycle of when you're confident, you'll do it, when you're nae, and vice versa. So I think, the fact that we've got a point out of the game and Jim was disappointed, I think that sets the standards. But hopefully they've got the belief in them, as I said, with Jack with the penalty save and all that, and Connor getting a goal. And maybe just a start or something for them.
Yeah, and that's where we want them to be, obviously, scoring goals and getting confident, and then that obviously breed results as well.
Yeah, as we mentioned last season, confidence is massive. In fact, but you'll get the results if you've got a confident team. Hopefully, as I say, we've got a couple more in through the door, get a squad assembled, and we can kick on.
So that was it. It was ended 2-2. We're on the board at least in terms of goals and points. So we're looking certainly up the way instead of down the way again. Before we move on to the next game, I want to bring up a point. I think you mentioned it on social media. I certainly saw it as well. It was all about the blocked broadcasting rights in terms of We know, obviously, we know clubs can't do streaming this season as opposed to what they've been able to do for the last two seasons because of COVID. And strangely enough, or weirdly enough, the only two nations in UEFA who have signed up for this are England and Scotland, whereas everybody else are quite happy to allow clubs to do this. Is this another missed opportunity for the SPFL, the SFA? Maybe not so much the clubs, because I think the clubs would do it, but I think this is a, do you think this is a big opportunity missed?
Oh, my, massive, absolutely massive. Yeah, it staggers me that, you know, guys can be offshore, they can watch the game. Yeah, you can actually be in the town centre and you couldn't watch the game on your phone, or you couldn't get a live stream for it or something. Yeah, it's beyond belief. I think it's a massive opportunity miss. I did think when the clubs were doing the streaming service through COVID that there would maybe be a change and we could get rid of this so-called blackout on a Saturday afternoon. And it's disappointing that we've gone back to it. I think there is a big opportunity missed. I think certainly for people who, for one reason or another, can't get to a game. We're all aware of the crisis with the living costs and everything, the price of fuel, do you want to go through a game? You know, if you paid a subscription fee, you could watch it on your phone. It's not just for Peter Hedges, for any Scottish team you want to follow. I think it's a massive opportunity to miss.
I think a lot of people get hung up on the fact that it's a home thing, but it for away supporters as well. So if you use Peterhead for example, you know, we've got Queen in the South, which is probably where we're furthest away a trip this season. And obviously, Queen's coming up the way as well. So let's say Peterhead's playing them at home, maybe get 500 fans in that game. You might get 50, say, Queen of the South fans, maybe slightly more. But you could easily add another 100 onto that, paying £10. That's an extra grand to the club straight away.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a massive opportunity, especially the lower, doing the pyramid to go. I think being able to stream would be massive. I get the argument that folk will say, well, you're taking away money for the actual gate. But as you said, if you've got a subscription fee, you pay £10 to watch the game. I personally don't see an issue with it. As you said, it could be an extra £1,000 for a club. And, you know, the teams lower down the pyramid with everything that's gone on over the last couple of years, that's money needed to sniff that. And I think, like I said, I think it's a big opportunity miss. You wonder whether it'll be revisited at some point. You hope so, because I think it's, you know, pretty daft that you kind of watch a live game of football on a Saturday afternoon, but to go to the game. Like I said, with everything that's going on at the moment, clubs should be able to try and help out supporters. They're obviously higher up, and you go in the chain. There's reasons for it. I think it's bad fun, to be honest.
The argument of, well, I'll take away the attendance is a moot argument, because as we saw last season, and for many clubs, not just Peterhead, but Peterhead were streaming the games at home last season, and to me, it didn't seem to affect the size of the crowds. We were getting pretty much average crowds for the majority of the game. So that argument that the people say, "Oh, take away," what it'll do is it'll advance and it'll help the crowd, because it will also help the club with a little bit more income as well.
Yeah, and just for Peter's point of view, I can a lot of folk that'll hear, you know, their plans will change in the afternoon. They want to go to the game, but slightly different. I'm not sure whether you've seen on social media the situation that St Mirren supporters had tried to get to Tawdry. So basically, long story short, is you had to collect the ticket from the club, St Mirren themselves, which was only open between 10 and 2 Monday to Friday. There was no cash turnstiles at the game, and it was £26 to go. Now, if you woke up on the Saturday and your plans had changed, you could not then go to Tawdry to watch Aberdeen against St Mirren, because you had to collect your tickets before 2 o'clock on the Friday. So yeah. Again, if you've got a Friday night, your plans change, and they're working, again, everything. Scottish Fib has got to try and help, I think, the fact that it's £26 to go up to Audrey, you know, shocking enough as it is. But I think, in general, you know, it's a podcast for a different day, but you've got the ticket prices as well. You know, everything combinated together, it's almost like they're trying to price people out actually going to watch a game of Scottish football.
Yeah, and like with everything else in life, things adapt, things change. People watch FITBA sport in general in different ways, and as you said, a lot of folk would much prefer to be able to have a stream so they can sit, you know, they could be at a wedding, they could be at doing something else, as you said, and they could still watch it if they wanted to.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. As you said, plans change, and I think, you know, with Scottish football, they've got to, in my opinion, we've got to adapt better. Like I said, I think it's baffling that your plans can change on a Saturday morning, yet you can't then watch the game through it being actually a streaming service or paying an extra couple of pounds to watch it as a latecomer, so to speak. Yeah, I think it is a bit baffling.
The current deal ends in 2025, so I guess we'll see if anything changes with that, because I think certainly by that time a lot of people will be looking at it in terms of what they want to do. But I think for like a club like Peterhead, for example, you know, we're using the Pixalot at the moment, have done for the last 2 years. I think that would need to be upgraded, certainly to make it better and make it much more value for money, because I think the club itself has had a few issues with that system. And I think it's a system that was only really built for 1 year anyway, and they've gotten two out of it.
Yeah, I think the technology needs to be updated. Also, we're getting VAR at the end of the year, so you hope the technology surrounding Scottish football is improving. You mentioned there the deal is up in 2025. Potentially, you're missing out on quite a few supporters. You know, Scottish national team are doing better now than they have done in the last 20, 25 years. You've got young kids that are now following Scotland. But yeah, potentially couldn't watch a domestic game. Just think, obviously, it will be 25 at the earliest before anything changes. But again, I just think you're missing out on getting customers in through the door. But the ticket prices are so high as well. You know, you experienced that a couple of years ago. You're trying to take a family to a game of football. You're near enough to get to £100 just to go to a top flight game, which, you know, is daft.
So we'll see if anything changes with that. Not really confident that anything will with the SPFL, SFA, but we'll see what happens there. Okay, so moving on to this Saturday's game then. We are now away to Falkirk for the second away game in a row. Falkirk are a baffling team. Everybody expects them to be doing well. They've started off badly this season, 0-0 against Montrose, 4-0 against Airdrie, got beat on Saturday. I really didn't know what to make of them. I don't know what to make of us, really, either, at this stage. So it could be a good game to watch.
Aye, so we've to try and preview what Nick and Fit both teams are like. Weirdly, I think Falkirk getting beat 4-0 on Saturday is a bad result for us. Mm. Because, obviously, 0-0 against Montrose, not the worst result, but obviously, their first home game of the season, they'll be looking for a win. But they've got beat 4-0, and seen a bit more battering. You can always tell by Falkirk's supporters when you look at their match highlights and see the comments after it. They didn't play well, and they're not happy. So obviously, it's only two games in, but they're not happy. And I think they'll be looking for a reaction. Could be a baptism of fire for us when we go there. We've said it for the last 4 years, and we've been up and seen earlier. This is one of them games. You let the Falkirk crowd get on the players, they're not going to like it, and you can grow into the game. So yeah, I think certainly be an interesting. I think the team lineups will be quite crucial on Saturday as well, how they're going to line up. But I think it'll be two teams that'll be desperate for a win.
Yeah, the last six, it's two wins, two draws, and two defeats. So Falkirk aren't exactly blowing us away at the moment. I know away from home the results are slightly different. We've had two losses and a draw there last season, and a draw which could have easily been a win at tail end of last season. That was when we were going through that spell where we just couldn't get a goal. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a place now that we should be fearing going there. I think we should be going there with the same sort of mentality of we can get something out of it again.
Yeah, I certainly think the fact we've come to 2-0 doing on Saturday will help us. We'll get that confidence. Like I said, I think the team lineups on Saturday will be the most crucial thing, seeing how Falkirk line up as well. The way that they conceded their four goals, supporters aren't happy. I'm pretty sure they'll be working that training this week. So, yeah, an interesting game, I think, on Saturday.
We would imagine Jason would be available. Andy McDonald's will be available as well after his suspension. So it'll be interesting to see what Jim wants to do in terms of does he bring them back straight away? Does he stick with the five that played on Saturday? So, bit interesting to see, as you said, with the lineups. But you know, with those two available, it certainly strengthens the squad anyway.
Yeah, I think Jason would come back in. McKinney's obviously only played just a couple of games because he was suspended for the cup. But I think he would come in. Not sure whether Andy would come in, depends obviously if Basil and Falkirk's right hand side, if they're wanting the pace of Danny Strachan to help out. But then it's a natural left footed player you could have with Andy McDonald. We commented he's pretty decent there the last couple of games of the last season on that left hand side. The food for thought for Jim, you never know, there might be somebody new coming in through the door as well this week. But I certainly think, as you mentioned just a minute ago there, we shouldn't fear going down to Falkirk. But a team that are there, obviously they've got their defensive problems as well. I think we should certainly be going there looking to get a win.
I think defensively the back line is maybe the only, certainly at this stage, the only part of the team that Jim would maybe have a question mark was who he wants to get command. Because I think the midfield three and the two up front, I think they would be exactly the same as they were in the last game.
Yeah, I don't think that'll change. As you said, McDonald and Jason Brown, I think whether both of them come in, I'm not sure whether they'll change two out of the back three, back five situation. But I think you've got to, Paul Dixon as well, you know, is he going to play every game? Potentially not. Does he maybe come in, I drop out for Andy McDonald or Jason Brown? Hey, it's good that Jim's able to pay that selection problems now, because for 4 or 5 weeks it was pretty easy to protect the team.
You're not going to drop Paul Dixon against his old team, are you? Surely not.
I mean, you've got to take that sentiment out at times. But, you know, is he going to play every game? I don't know. Is he going to be game manager? Obviously, he's at a certain age now. I think he will play every game. If you've got everybody fit, is he a starter? I don't know.
I certainly think if any of those three that played on Saturday would be feeling lucky that they're not starting again. Maybe Ryan Strachan might be the question mark in terms of him coming back from his injury. You know, can he do 90 minutes back to back again? That's and then maybe that's one of the things that will play on Jim's mind through training this week.
I think if somebody said to Ryan Strachan's not playing, I think you'd almost be a shoo-in for Jason Brown to be playing, because I think Jason's got a better communication and just trying to get that organisation. You know, we didn't see it until he came on against Airdrie. Ryan Strachan, that is about the communication. He's really the only player that did actually show that. I think if Ryan didn't play on Saturday, I think Jason would be a shoe in the command.
I mean, in theory, you could stick Ryan Strachan at the midfield in that holding role as well, if you're trying to shoehorn in Jason and or Andy as well. So, again, plenty of options for Jim. And we knew he had plenty of options at the back. But now that he's got, I guess, a full selection to choose from, it would be interesting to see who he sees as his best back line, if you like.
Yeah, interesting. You said Ryan could go into midfield, almost the Simon Ferry-esque sort of role, just sitting there, you know, not so much barking the order, making sure the organisation's good. And if you've got Jason Brown behind as well, Ukeny's also got help as well. So, not a bad shout, actually.
Would you be snapping people's hands off for a draw again in this one, or do you fancy us to take the full 3 points?
I think we're in a better position to go down there and get 3 points. But again, you have sometimes picked your battles. And I think if somebody says to you just now, you'll get a point at the Falkirk Stadium, yeah, I'd probably take it. But then you need to start winning your home games, because it would be a decent away point at Clyde, a decent away point at Falkirk. You've got to back that up. I always think if you win your home games and you get a couple of wins on the road, you'll be safe. Also, you're not going to win all your home games. You need to try and pick up points elsewhere. But then it becomes 2 points out of nine. And then when you look at it, that it becomes slightly different. 1 point out of four, yeah, it's okay. But then 2 points out of nine, yeah, makes it a wee bit more different.
Yeah, and the rest of the month doesn't get any easier either as well. We've got Queen of the South and then Alloa as well. So it's going to be difficult games throughout the season, as we said last week. But, you know, you want to try and get as many as points as you can get. And as Jim likes to say, get that 9 points, I think it is, each quarter. So certainly if you're going to feel as though you've dropped 2 points against Clyde, you certainly want to try and take as much points as you can the following game.
Yeah, and as you said, Falkirk, Queens and then Arlawa. Hey, like we said a couple of weeks ago, it's a tough league. I think the league's improved over the last couple of years as well. Maybe just for the teams that are in a bit of quality of players that are in it. Certainly, I think there's a few teams got players that could play at a higher level in Scotland. So, yeah, we're up against it. But as you said, you've got to take points and you maybe didn't expect it. And that means we've got to go to Falkirk, try and get the 3 points, then we should be aiming for it.
But let's put it this way, we're much more confident than we were this time last week going into the game.
Yeah, we've scored 2 goals. So, if that's all it is to get a bit of confidence. But you'd be amazed. You know, I think the players in training this week will have a bit of a spring in their step. Again, it's only a point, but you're 2-0 doing, you hadn't scored, and you've got something out of the game, and you've played pretty well. So, yeah, I think confidence will be good.
Goals breed confidence. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And we've said that numerous times before, that if your strikers and your midfielders are scoring goals, makes the team's job a lot easier.
Positivity, that's what it's all about, and that's the kind of hopefully that's going to be happening next week as well. But then that is it for this week. We'll leave it there. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. My thanks to Martin for joining me, and as ever, we'd like to both like to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.